You know, it is the Christmas season. We've been talking about it all week long. And, you know, Christmas is a time of lights, isn't it? Have you noticed all the lights, like, all over the place? That's because Jesus is the light of the world. He's come to light a world of darkness. And that light that Jesus is intended for us, that we would light up our lives, our minds, our hearts, our souls. So why don't we continue to get into the zone for Christmas? And here's a sermon we did at one of our previous Christmas services. Jesus is the light.
Well, if you haven't noticed, it has arrived. It's really, when you think of the season of Christmas, I think of the season of lights. Christmas is also the season of giving. It's the season of celebration. I know for many it's a season of sadness, but it doesn't have to be that way. It's a season of celebration because Christmas is not really about us. It's about Jesus coming to us as God's gift. The Savior is born into the world, God's gift to us. So Christmas lights are fitting for the Christmas season because Jesus is light. He's the true light that lights every person. Perhaps every light you see this Christmas will remind you of the light that Jesus is for us. Today we begin a three-part series for Christmas. Next week, we're going to see the lights that we are in this world. On Christmas, we're going to see the light that they followed to find the baby Jesus. But today we're going to see the light that Jesus is. And I'll tell you what, if everybody understood this, it would be a different world. What is light but that which we see by? What is light? That which shows us the way, right? Shows us how to walk, where to go. What is light but that which gives us warmth? So three things light does for us. Helps us to see, shows us where to walk, and gives off heat, gives off warmth. On the evening of the first day, back in Jerusalem, there were these four giant candelabra that was lit. Well, I kind of got ahead of myself here. Let me give you a little background before I get into our deep Bible study. I want you to see that Jesus was not shy about calling himself the light of the world. You know what I like about Jesus? When he said something about himself, he really meant it. He was not on an ego trip. He was telling truth. You know, when you speak truth, that's not egotistical. That's truth. And Jesus comes on the scene and he says, you know what? I'm the light of the world. And why do you think he said that? Well, because in John chapter 8, which is where we are, in verse 12, Jesus spoke and he said, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. You'll have the light of life. A little background to why he said this. Jesus is in the court of the women outside of the temple. At the court of the women, then you've got the court of the men, and then you've got the inner court where the priests go. He's out on the perimeter, the court of the women. And that was a very busy location because everybody could go into the court of the women. The women had to stay there. They couldn't go into the court of the men. So in the court of the women were these offering boxes. And people put offerings in for different things, support of the temple, for the poor, things like that. So it was a very busy place. People would come and go in the court of the women. And in that court, there were four giant candelabra in the court of the women. And This event took place that we're reading about today during the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus, the Bible tells us that in John 7. So on the evening of the first day of the feast, the four great candelabra were lit. So picture if this is the court of the women where we are in this room. There were four giant candelabra, and they would light those things up. And they were so bright that they lit up the city of Jerusalem. With these lights burning and lighting up the city, Jesus now stands up in front of the candelabra, and you know what he says? I'm the light of the world. Wow. The huge candles were the light of the city, but Jesus was the light of the whole world. In verse 12, he said it, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. Now, light is no good unless you walk in it, right? How many here have ever seen a flashlight? Good. How many have ever used a flashlight? Right. I've got a feeling when we used the flashlight, we didn't put it in back of us and walk in front of it. I got a feeling, because you're pretty smart people, I know you. You probably put it in front of you, and then you walked in the light of the light, right? Maybe same thing with a lantern. You put it in front of you, and you followed the light so you could see where you were going. Well, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He who, what, follows me. So we walk in the light of Christ. We follow in that light that Jesus is. That's what makes us different from everybody else. We're following the light of Christ. You know, Isaiah prophesied of this event when he said in Isaiah chapter 9, the people who walk in darkness, this is spiritual darkness, will see a great light. That's Jesus. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. So, you know, life changed when Jesus came. Oh, yeah. Everything changed when Jesus came. People were looking forward to God doing something. But when Christ came, God did it. And they had the opportunity to experience what God was doing. So when they lit the candles, those four giant candelabra, they saw a huge light. But when Jesus came, they saw a great light, the light of the world. Is it any wonder Jesus was born at night? How do you know that, you say? Right? Somebody say that. Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Because Luke tells us in the Christmas story, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, and they were keeping watch over their flocks. Finish it. By night. By night. There it is. Now, the shepherds are watching the flocks at night. And you know the story. The angels came, and they told them good news, good tidings. The Savior had been born. And you know what the shepherds said? Let's hurry. And they went in a hurry to Bethlehem. I believe it was the same night. You're not going to wait. The Savior's born. Oh, okay. Let's see. Maybe we'll go in 3 days. No, they couldn't wait to get there. So I believe they went at night. And I believe that this also fulfilled Matthew 4, verse 16, that of what Isaiah said. The people who were sitting in darkness, they saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land, the shadow of death upon them, a light dawned. You know, that speaks of us too. That we're all in darkness until we find Christ, until we find the light of Christ. And that's what's so great about Christmas. Christmas is a reminder. That's all. Jesus is the light of the world. I mean, we have lights all over the place at Christmas. People put lights outside their house, lights inside their house. People put lights in the churches. Slowly but surely, though, things are changing, aren't they? Less lights, more reindeer. There's a house near me in my neighborhood. It's got a blow-up reindeer. It's got to be 25 feet, 30 feet high. I want to shoot it with a BB gun. But I won't. Because that's all they have. Nothing else. It's 25-foot reindeer. Okay. Now, there's a helicopter, too. I'm definitely going to shoot that one. No, I'm not. But like, what's a helicopter got to do with Christmas? I don't know. But lights do. Because lights reflect and symbolize who Jesus is. The light that came into a world of darkness. So when Isaiah said that the people were sitting in darkness, that speaks of intellectual blindness, spiritual blindness. You know, you can be religious but still be spiritually blind. These people were all people all around the temple, but they were spiritually blind. The Pharisees led the people in the study of the Torah, and yet they were spiritually blind. They just didn't get it. They were sitting in darkness. You know, worse than walking in darkness is to sit in darkness. Because if you're walking in darkness, you can stumble and fall, and you can wake up and you can realize, ooh, I just stumbled because I'm in the darkness. But if you're sitting in darkness, you can be content and you can be comfortable and just stay there. I kind of like it here. You're not falling, you're not stumbling, you're not doing anything. You're just sitting in darkness, and that's a very dangerous place to be because you don't think you need change. When you stumble enough in life, you realize, I got to get my life right. I need help. I need God in my life because I keep stumbling. I can't see where I'm going. But sitting in darkness, there doesn't seem to be a need for anything because you're content right where you are. So later on, Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world so that anyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. It's interesting how he keeps referring to himself as a light. Because what does the light do? The light, like we said, gives us the ability to see where we're going. How great is the light if you don't have it when you think it's darkness? You know, people can be, like I said, they can be comfortable in darkness, and your eyes can adjust to the darkness, and you can get around. You know, you ever get up in the middle of the night, and you know your house, you don't want to put on the light, but you kind of know where you're going. You can see, you can get by, but when you put the light on, now you can really see. And there are people that just get by, they're spiritually in the dark, and they get by, and they're okay. But if they ever saw the light, oh, things would change so much for them. So Jesus is the light we see by. We do it according to his word. So the more faithful you are to church and to his word, the more your eyes are going to open, the more your spiritual vision will improve. That's what we need today, spiritual vision, because that includes perception, understanding how life works. Now Jesus is the light that shows the way. In John 1 verse 9, John said, there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. It really means every person. So think of it. What an opportunity for all of mankind to find this spiritual enlightenment. And it's through Christ. Jesus came into the world to enlighten every person. You know, the human intellect is a ray of God's brightness. We have intellect. We create. We design. We invent. We make things better. And that's just one little ray of the brightness of God. It all springs from Christ. We're distinct from all creation because of his light within us. We're distinct from the animals. They have been doing the same things for thousands of years. Squirrels have been building little nests for thousands of years. Foxes have been digging dens for thousands of years. But mankind, he improves, creates, he invents. That's because we have the light of God inside of us. But there are some that have dampened that light. They put it out. They put that light under a basket. Like Jesus said one time, you don't do that. He said, what person lights a lamp and doesn't put it on the lampstand to light the whole house? No, but some, they put it under the basket. And it's dull. And it's dark. And it's sad that so many people can go through Christmas and miss the message and miss the meaning of what it is because their light is under a basket. They've pushed it down. They've suppressed it for whatever reason. Instead of, you know, like when you light a candle and then you put a glass thing over it and it magnifies the light, magnifies it, shines even brighter. Well, there are those, they've lit that little light and they just shrouded it. And they've gotten comfortable in the darkness. So Jesus, he's the light we see by. That's important because, okay, how do I handle marriage problems? Through the light of Christ and his word. How do I handle conflict at work? Through the light of Christ and his word. It helps me to see things more clearly, not just according to my own personal perception or my own preconceived notions, because we all have them, don't we? We all have an idea of this is the way it's supposed to be. This is how she's supposed to be. This is how he's supposed to be. And we all have our own idea. But when we come under the light of Christ, now we see it God's way. Now it's like, wait a minute. God says, how do I see that person? God says, how do I do this job? So we're getting a divine perception instead of our personal human perception. So he shows us the way, shows us how to act, how to respond. And then thirdly, he's the light that warms our hearts. Boy, we need that one. If there's anything that God's people should be known for, it's warm hearts. Not hot hearts, not cold hearts, not little tiny hearts, not Grinch hearts. You know the Grinch, he had that little tiny heart, like a little frog, little froggy heart. But then it started to grow. And what Jesus does, he grows our heart and he warms our heart. And you know, because you see, light is heat and it has warmth. You might remember in Luke chapter 24, after Jesus was crucified, he died, buried in the tomb, and he rose from the dead. In Luke chapter 24, after that, there were two disciples and they were walking down the Emmaus Road, heading toward the city of Emmaus. And it could have been two of Jesus's 11 disciples. Their names aren't given. So they're walking and they're saddened, confused, heartbroken because their friend, their savior, he was killed by the Romans. But what happened was the resurrected Jesus started walking with them, but they didn't recognize him. And he said, why are you guys so down? What's going on? They said, haven't you heard? Jesus the Christ, the one we thought that was going to come and save us, they killed him. I love it when they said, haven't you heard the things that happened? And Jesus said, what things? And then they explained, oh, they killed our Savior. They killed our friends. And Jesus kept walking with them. And he went to their house. And he stayed with them and they ate. And he broke bread with them. And then the Bible tells us, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, Jesus explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. Oh, he went right through the Old Testament, showing them all the scriptures that pointed to him, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his millennial reign. It was all there. All the way through from Genesis to Malachi. It was all there. And Jesus was sharing the scriptures with them. And then he departed. He just kind of disappeared, vanished from their sight. And you know what they said? They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he explained the scriptures to us?" The word of God was like firewood to their soul. It kindled the flame. That's what the word will do. I'll tell you what. If you have the Holy Spirit because you're born again, the word of God will lighten up your heart. But if you don't have the Spirit because you're not saved, it's just another book. Doesn't mean anything. That's why we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit to understand. And they said, "Were not our hearts burning?" They came alive. Their whole mood changed. That's what the word of God will do. It'll change our mood because it changes our perspective. It gives us hope. Our hope is not in circumstances because none of them are consistent. They change all the time. They're up, down, good, bad. It's like the weather. Nice day, bad day. But the word of God is consistent. It never changes. So it's the light of Christ in his word that warms our hearts. And it happened to them. So this Christmas season, I want us to really focus this year on the lights. Let's focus on the lights. How important the lights are, because they symbolize the light that's come into the world. They make decorations, nice decorations, but that's not the important thing. They point to Christ. See, everything about Christmas should point to Christ. That's why helicopters and reindeer, I really don't have much use for them, because they don't point to Christ. Now, Jesus rode into Bethlehem on a reindeer, I say, okay. But I haven't read where he did. But the lights point to Christ. That's what's important. Even a single candle can be a testimony of the Lord Jesus coming into the world. Because that candle can light your room. It can light your house. Just like Christ can light your heart. So this season, let's really appreciate the Christmas light that we see. This is a message that just reminds us that wherever we go in the next few weeks, we're going to see lights. And let them, I almost said, let a light go off in your head, but I won't. But let it be a reminder of Jesus. He's the light of the world. Oh, the candles, the big four giant candelabra, they lit up the city. Jesus lights up the world. He's the light of the whole world. And he's come to light every man, every woman, every child. He lights us up with the life of God, with God's perspective toward life. Not ours, but his perspective. So what can Christ do in our life? Oh, he can show us the way. This is the way you walk. Follow him. Just like your flashlight, you don't shine it in back of you. You put it in front of you, and you walk in the light of that flashlight. Well, we walk in the light of Christ. So, you know, maybe the greatest piece of jewelry that was ever made is that little rubber wristband. What would Jesus do? That might be the greatest piece of jewelry. So we ask ourselves before we respond to life, what would Jesus do here? What would he say? What would he do? And we walk in his light. And you'll find that walking in the light, oh yeah, it warms your heart. It warms your heart. And you know what the world needs? People with warm hearts. Because people with warm hearts are caring, loving, considerate, kind, generous. It's really what the world needs. The world needs the people of God as we're going to see next time, to be lights in this cold, dark world. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. When Jesus came, he wasn't shy about telling us who he was and what he came to do. I thank you, Lord, that he's the means by which we can orient our lives, that we have something to follow, where we will not stumble and we will not fall if we stay in the light of Christ. As your people, Father, help us to stay in that light, to walk in that light, to be warmed by that light. And maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ. Well, you're in darkness, and everyone is in darkness until they find the light of Christ. And you can come out of that darkness today. You can come out by receiving Jesus as your Savior. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me. No one. And you can do that today. And you can say, yes, God, I believe. I believe that Jesus came and died for my sins. And there's no other way I can be saved but through him. So I'm putting my faith in him today. And I'm asking you to forgive me and save me and make me your own. Amen.
What a great time to make a great decision. Let the birth of the Savior not only be an observance that we celebrate here, but let him be born again in your heart. Oh, Merry Christmas to those of you that know Christ as your Savior and those that will receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. And you have the assurance of eternity, the guarantee of heaven. Can't beat that. Don't forget, you can join us at any of our Christmas services. Christmas Eve, 7 p.m. Christmas morning, 10 a.m. We always have a great crowd, a great celebration, a great service. Get to church and let's celebrate, because Jesus is worthy.